Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hello to everyone who's watching online on a very special day today. If you are watching wherever you are in the world, Australia and many countries in the world today is celebrating Father's Day, and I've got a special church online message for you. And if you're in our online campus, hello and happy Father's Day to you wherever in the world you might be. And for those of you that are watching today, you also need to know that our thoughts and prayers are with you if you are in a country that is celebrating Father's Day, and Father's Day is a particularly difficult time for you. You need to know that God's here, and I've got a message in my heart that's not just for fathers but for everyone really. But we're going to unpack today a passage out of Luke chapter 15, and a little later on in my message, I'm actually going to be praying for those of you that are dads. But we're going to take this passage of scripture in Luke 15. It's the story that we call the prodigal son, and it's a parable that Jesus tells. It says here in verse 11, it says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses," verse 17 says, "he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." It's one of my favorite parables in the Gospels. And so today I want to speak to you on the thought, what love looks like. And for the sake of our understanding, this parable actually depicts God as a father that has two sons. And between verses 11 and 23 of this text, the parable actually deals with this relationship between the father and his youngest son. And there are many angles to read this account, so much to unpack and all the different layers with that. But I want you to come with me and view this amazing parable from the eyes of the father in this story. The father in the parable is representative of the Heavenly Father, but this account also holds incredibly life-changing truths, not just for earthly fathers, but for anyone. If you're here today and you love someone or you are loved by someone, this parable has incredible truth for you. If currently today you're feeling unloved and lonely, it's also relevant to you because this parable tells us about how God feels about you, and it demonstrates to us what love looks like. This is, like I said before, a parable. A parable is essentially a story that Jesus told to convey truth to listeners. And here he tells of a younger son that decides that he wants to have his inheritance early. So in biblical times, particularly Jewish culture, there was an order as to how things actually come about. It was highly offensive for the younger son to demand an early inheritance. It was offensive, as offensive as saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." But the father doesn't balk at the request. And this part of the parable would have probably confronted the listeners of the day, because if it was a true account, the father would have been incredibly upset and highly offended. But instead, the father honors the son's request and gives him what he asked for. Immediately, the Jewish listener knew what Jesus was trying to teach them, that God will never contravene nor remove what he created people to have. and that is free will. He grants every person free will, free choice. This is important to know when you want to understand the heart of the Father and what His love looks like. Religion controls, but true love, the kind of love the Heavenly Father gives us, is in spite of our free will. True love never seeks to control, only religion does. At the very core of the love of God is a love between Creator and His people. It's the love between sovereign, almighty God and fragile, broken people that have free will. And so at the epicenter of the Christian faith is the unconditional heart of love that the Father has toward us. The love that He has towards free choice, free willing humans, just like you and I. The Father gets together the portion of His life savings, the best of what He has, and gives it to His youngest son to do whatever He wants to do with it. And so this parable is a reminder for us, particularly for fathers, that if you love your kids, no matter how strong your love is, there's never any justification for controlling them or trying to manipulate the outcomes of their life. Just like nobody's love for you can control your choices. The Father in this story depicts the love of the Heavenly Father toward us. God loves you too much to control you, because to control free-willing people will not be love at all. And so today I want to unpack this passage of Scripture for you about what love looks like. Firstly, I reckon love looks like sacrifice. Very few of us who are fathers fully know the true extent of what that looks or feels like until fatherhood actually came upon us. Certainly for me, I didn't know how much love actually looked like sacrifice until I had my own children. And you know what? A father's love is so much more than just cuddles and squeezes and fun times and fun and games with the kids. The Father's love actually looks like sacrifice. Here in Luke chapter 15, the Bible tells us, the way Jesus tells it to us, is that the Father gave all of His life's work, really, that was really due to the Son at the time of His death. He gives it early. He gives the very best. He gives everything that the youngest son asked for. And in many ways, it depicts what the Heavenly Father did for us, that God Himself revealed His best to us by giving us Jesus. And here is something I just really feel prophetically to speak to all the dads. God knows the sacrifices you make for your family. He knows the dreams that you've laid down. He knows all of the different decisions you've had to make that were not your, if you were left to your own devices, you wouldn't have made them, but you made those sacrificial decisions for the sake of your family. God knows all of that. And you know what? You have a Heavenly Father that understands that kind of love, because love looks like sacrifice. And I just want to say to you today that if we don't ever, as dads, don't ever resolve that love looks like sacrifice, we're actually going to resent the journey of fatherhood. But you need to know that you have a Heavenly Father that understands that love looks like sacrifice, and there's going to be grace for you in this journey of fathering for you to continue to love sacrificially. Secondly, love looks like forgiveness. The account of the prodigal son was told to evoke a little bit of a shock factor to the listeners of the day. The audacity of the younger son to actually ask for an early inheritance, and how offensive that could have possibly been for the father. And yet the father forgave unconditionally the younger son when he returns. Forgiveness is an incredibly powerful word. And this is probably what you need to get out of this passage, is that a father's forgiveness is not like a friend's forgiveness. See, a father's forgiveness is not just a pardon for wrongdoing, but it has implied in it an unconditional affirmation of identity. What do I mean by that? Catch this. Dads, I'm speaking to you. When you forgive your children, you're not just forgiving them for what they've done, you're affirming them for who they are in spite of what they've done. And that is what this father in the parable of the prodigal son actually is doing. He is affirming his son in spite of what he's done. Remember that when this son comes to his senses, he returns back to the father's house and he says this, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." In his wrongdoing, in his guilt, in his shame, he corrupted his own identity, and yet the father forgave him and reinstated his identity as a son. This is so powerful. You know, for those of us who have great earthly dads. I know for me, when I was a young boy, particularly when I was a teenager, when I did something that I felt like it would disappoint my dad, it was a different kind of feeling to doing something where you felt like you would let a mate down, you know? And when your mate forgave you, it was all good and you got on with it. But when I felt like I let my dad down, for him to forgive me was more than just a pardon for my wrongdoing, but it was a reinstatement again, a reaffirmation that I'm loved and I'm accepted as his son. Fathers, you need to know that your forgiveness carries far more weight than the forgiveness of a friend. And I believe that not all forgiveness is created equal. That dads, when you forgive your children, it carries far greater weight because it affirms their identity in spite of what they've done. Your kids are gonna mess up. My kids are definitely gonna mess up. They're gonna make poor choices. But long after the pain of their poor choices are gone, the pain of our unforgiveness towards them will linger. Long after the pain of their bad decisions are gone, the pain of our withholding of their affirmation of identity will linger. As fathers, our love looks like forgiveness. And that is exactly what our Heavenly Father's love looks like toward us. The third thing is that love looks like restoration. In this account, in this parable of the prodigal son, love looks like restoration. To restore means to reinstate something, to reinvigorate something back to its original state. The son thought that forgiveness meant that he had to come back and work as a servant in the father's house, but the father didn't just forgive the prodigal son for what he did. The father restored relationship back to its original state. The son didn't have to come back and earn his way back into sonship, but he was restored immediately back into his status as a son. Love restores. It looks like restoration. And there are very few things that are more powerful to the human soul than to be restored in relationship back to our Heavenly Father. You might be a dad here today, and maybe your child has disappointed you in the duration of their life. Maybe they've lied to you, maybe they've betrayed you, and maybe you have forgiven them, but you haven't restored them back in a relationship with you. Things are estranged between you and your son or your daughter. I want to say this to you today, that love looks like restoration, because that is what our Heavenly Father did for us. God didn't just forgive us, He restored us back unconditionally into right relationship with Him. We didn't have to earn our sonship, our daughtership back from God. He restored it to us because of what Jesus did for us. You know, one of the most underrated bonds, I reckon, is also one of the most powerful bonds between two humans, and that is the bond between father and son or daughter. We all know about the bond of lovers. We see that in songs and in movies. We know about the bond between mother and child, but I reckon the bond between father and son or daughter is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, bond. And I think that's why the enemy sometimes tries to destroy or disrupt the bond between father and son or daughter. Guys, love looks like restoration. And the fourth thing is that love looks like responsiveness. A father's love looks like responsiveness. The Bible says in Luke 15, verse 20, this parable that we read, it says that the prodigal son got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. That is responsiveness right there. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Just picture that with me for a moment. The father didn't just stand there and said, well, I want to wait for the boy to come to me and he can initiate everything and I'll respond when I feel like it, because he's the one that cheated me out of his inheritance. No, it says here that the father ran to him. Dads, our children need responsive fathers. Our Heavenly Father is a responsive father. All that we need to do is turn to Him and He responds to us. I've had the journey, even in my own life as a dad, with this whole deal of love looking like responsiveness, because I've been at times an unresponsive, inattentive dad. I've been preoccupied with the busyness of life and all of those sorts of things. And I'm sad to say that I can't get those moments back with my children. But what I do know is that this passage reminds me that love looks like responsiveness. Don't waste opportunities in your day to respond to your kids. Your kids are not gonna work to your time schedule, to your work schedule. You're gonna have to respond to them when they come to you. And finally, the fifth thing, love looks like speaking. Fathers, there is no greater voice with greater authority in your home than your voice. Yours is the voice of leadership, is the voice of clarity, is the voice of direction, is the voice of alignment, is the voice of affirmation, is the voice of encouragement. It's the voice that sets the atmosphere in your family. When we are silent, dads, our children are actually left to fill in the blanks. Listen to what the son says here in Luke 15 when he comes home. He says this in verse 21. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Now the father would have understandably, if as human fathers, we would have understood him being silent. After all, it was an emotionally loaded statement. And come on, let's be honest, dads, we don't know what to do with emotionally loaded statements. But yet the father immediately speaks, because love looks like speaking. And the father says this, the father said to his servants in verse 22, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it, let's have a feast and celebrate," and so on and so forth. The father immediately showed love by correcting the atmosphere in the house. He gave instructions quickly to the servants to make the house ready for the returning son. There was forgiveness, there was restoration, there was clarity, there was alignment immediately shown by the father's voice. Dads, when we don't use our voices the way God created and gave us authority to use, our children are gonna be shaped by other voices. They're gonna be shaped by social media voices. They're gonna be shaped by voices in the world that are not yours. I wanna encourage you today, the greatest voice you can have in your life is the voice of the Heavenly Father. And dads, the greatest voice that our children can have are our voices in their lives and in their homes. Nothing messes up our homes more than wrongly placed or misplaced voices. And when we're silent, we leave it up to other people to have to fill in the gaps. At times, we have to leave it to our wives to be the ones that use their voices to shape the homes, and that shouldn't be so. There is a special and unique place of authority just for your voice and your voice alone, and God has graced you with that. So I conclude today by simply saying that the love of the Father looks like all of the things we spoke about today. That love looks like sacrifice, that love looks like forgiveness, that love looks like restoration, that love looks like responsiveness, and love looks like speaking. And all of those things are actually personified in Jesus, who is God. God revealed himself to you through Jesus in all of these ways. And in many ways, that's what Luke chapter 15 was all about. And so I want you to keep watching the screen right now for this testimony by Chris, who in many ways has had his life completely restored and radically transformed because he encountered the love of Jesus. Keep watching right now.
My name is Chris Tuopola. I have one wife, five kids, and one dog. I think initially being a dad really rocked me, I think mainly due to my age. I was 17 when I first had my son, so initially being a teenage dad shocked me for obvious reasons, but I think if I look back now and realize, even with the maturity that I have now, I didn't think that I could have coped with what I went through without God's presence. I was adopted but not adopted, so it was one of those things there, because my biological mum, she had me at a young age, and I ended up getting adopted by her mum, so my biological mum became my sister, and it hasn't been spoken about to this day. It's hard to fathom the person I was without God, because God's consumed my life completely. Just the thought of not having God in my life is scary. I used to love to fight and would deliberately, purposely go out and look for fights, and just really in a dark place, just trying to discover myself. And yeah, I thank God that he saved me, because I was going down a very dark tunnel. The moment when I met God was exactly May 22nd, Sunday 2005. We'd been going to church regularly, and the pastor at the time, who was actually like another father figure we had grown quite close with him, was preaching. And I was obviously, you know, growing up in the church. What was missing was that I'd done church, but I never got church. So on that Sunday, he was preaching about the application of church and how it can really affect you and just being in the whole body of Christ. And it affected me because I knew a lot about church, I knew about Jesus, knew about God, but I didn't know about the application of using those tools to assist me in life. And yeah, it hit me. And I understand why they call it a born-again Christian, because when I was up on stage, I was, man, boiling like a newborn baby. Yeah, now day-to-day, my life with God is early mornings. Obviously, you know, my first part of the day, I commit to God, so, you know, my prayer's a little bit long, having five kids, so you got to pray for every single one of them and make sure each and every one of them receive the same anointing. All parents would know that the love that they have for their kids, it's especially when you're our firstborn, you know, it's hard to fathom how much you love. And for me, it reflects, you know, how much God loves us, because He supersedes our love for our kids, you know, in terms of His love for us. So, you know, it makes me, you know, so thankful every day.
Wow, I don't know about you, but that was so powerful. And what I love about Chris's story is that we can all relate to being Chris. You don't have to be dad. You could be a woman watching this right now. We can all relate to being Chris. You know, we can all relate to having our lives messed up without the love of God. But today, regardless of your own personal experience with your earthly father, you can meet with your heavenly Father and experience a love like no other. He is the one that created you and loves you and wants you to be in relationship with Him. And that relationship is only possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God Himself, who died for you so He could forgive you and restore you back in a relationship with Him. And so today, wherever you're watching this, if in your heart you want to say that, yeah, I want that relationship with God, I am that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, and I want to invite God into my life again and come back in a relationship with my Heavenly Father, you bow your head with me right now as we pray together. I'm going to lead you in prayer, very simple prayer. Please participate if that is the cry of your heart today and you want a relationship with Jesus and you want to recommit your life to Him. Just close your eyes, bow your head, and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You died and rose again for me. And Lord Jesus, I repent of all that I've done. I confess all of my sins and I ask that You forgive me. I pray that You will give me a brand new future today. I invite You into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I look forward to a bright future with You as we journey together in relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time after a long time and you genuinely meant that prayer and you want to come back to faith, don't do it on your own. Log on to nationschurch.com/my-decision. A pastor will be in touch with you, to journey with you. Your online campus pastor, Pastor Kristen Willett, will help you with that. But before I sign off today, I want to actually pray for all of the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to you if you're celebrating it wherever you are in the world. But even if you're not celebrating Father's Day because you're not in a nation that has Father's Day today, I want to pray for you too. So why don't you bow your head, close your eyes. If you're watching this with a father, why don't you put your hand on their shoulder right now as I pray a prayer of blessing over every dad. Come on, you just believe with me, agree with me. Father, we thank You that as a society, we have an amazing opportunity to set aside a day where we honor fathers in our lives. I thank You for every dad that has been watching this today. I thank You for their leadership. I thank You for their wisdom. Lord God, I thank You for their love and sacrifice and protection over their families. Lord, I pray that You bless them greatly this coming year. Lord God, I pray that they will feel a daily grace to lead their families. Lord, I thank You for all their unseen extra hours at work so they can provide for their families. I thank You for the sacrifices they make in shouldering the burden of mortgages and school fees and family holidays and the ever-increasing expectations and demands that society and families place on them. I pray, Lord God, that there'll be grace and favor and blessing multiplied on them in this journey of fathering. May their lives this coming year be marked by peace and joy and health and success and prosperity. And may their influence increase in their worlds today. In Jesus' name, And everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you so much for joining us with Church Online today and to our online campus. For those of you that are in Cork, in Phnom Penh, God bless you. I'm going to pass you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.